Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we conclude our study in Daniel chapter 8, verse 23, where Gabriel describes Antiochus and Antichrist. This is part 2 of 2.
So, at that day, though, Hellenization involved the elevation of human wisdom and philosophy. Sound familiar? And the low view and lack of respect for the Scripture. Sister Tracy was telling me today on the phone, she was calling asking about Mark, and I gave her the update that Doug had given me. And she's talking about this friend who's telling her, the universe speaks to me. Well, see, that's the thing is they elevate human wisdom and philosophy, and that's when you do stupid things like thinking the universe talks to you. And when you have you ask somebody who says that, and you tell them that, well, I believe what the Bible says, and the Bible says, and they'll stop you. They say, wait a minute, that Bible, that's been translated by men so many times, and changes have been made, we don't even know what it says, or ought to say. That's what she told Tracy, and I hear that all the time. How many of you hear that stuff? Yeah. What they basically do, when you take Scripture off the table as your authority, you are now God. People wonder about that New Age movement. How can people be that dumb? They're not dumb. They're just being honest. Once you get rid of the Bible, you are your own God. And Shirley MacLaine and all of them had it right as far as being honest. Because you say, anybody who takes this Bible and sets it off the side and doesn't say that they are God, they're a liar. At least Shirley was honest. MacLaine, that is. But Oprah, you know, any of these people, they're just being honest. They also elevate human knowledge or science. That's a thing today. People say, I don't believe in God, I believe in science. That's what people say. I said, well, that's sad because the science textbooks I used in the 80s have totally changed. And they'll change again in the next couple of years. And give it 5 or 10 years, you won't even recognize them. There's a big thing right now because it's, you know how people are about the Big Bang. You know, it's the Big Bang's true. Well, that's theory. Okay? No, it's true. Science has all but proven it. All but? Well, you know, they're doing that now about things like black holes. And so PBS comes out with this series basically declaring black holes have been proven to be true. And all these scientists came out and said, no, they haven't. We don't. And a lot of them say, we don't believe they even exist. See how that is? That's science. And at the same time, they degrade biblical truth and doctrine. Now, I'm not. You notice I'm talking about what happened when Antiochus showed up. But it's today. Reads like today's newspaper. They increase in occultism and vice. Now, you look at it and you think that doesn't make sense. They elevate human wisdom and philosophy. They elevate human knowledge and science. And then they increase occultism and vice? Yes. Because you find out that a lot of what's passing as human wisdom, philosophy, and science is nothing but the occult. That's what you'll find. And then, of course, they decrease biblical religion and morality. Those go hand in hand, you see. And I ask, does that sound familiar? Yes, this is exactly what we're seeing happen today. That's why we see the types of Antiochus in the Scripture, but you can kind of expand them out to what was going on all around him, and it's happening now. It's happening today. You might remember this text. Hopefully some of you memorized it. Colossians 2:8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. And we had I want to say this, every once in a while the thing about psych meds come up, you know, psych, mental, whatever you want to call it, meds. And I have to constantly repeat, I am not saying no one should ever take those. What I'm saying is that 43 million Americans shouldn't be taking that. There might be some, but 43 million Americans is way too many Americans to be popping psych meds. And it explains a lot, doesn't it? Amen? Because those psych meds might help you in one area, but then they open up a whole can of worms with all kinds of other issues. And it explains what you see in the way people drive, I think. But people have been one of the... That's all psychology is. Psychology is a philosophical-based treatment of issues. Rather than finding out if there's sin, if there's habits, if there's brain damage, if there's a medical condition that's causing your problem, they don't even... They just look at you and talk to you and you say, well, I'm tired. I kind of lost my appetite. And I'm not as happy. I don't sleep well. Okay, here, take this. They didn't do a single... That happened to me. Didn't do a single scientific test on me. Sat there and listened to me describe what it's like to be going through hell on earth with a crazy mother of my children I was trying to deal with, driving me crazy, trying to keep my kids from going into hell holes to live and all this. Of course you're going to lose sleep. And then that's going to make you tired. And you're going to lose your appetite and all these things. Without a single scientific test handing me a prescription to psych meds. And that's what's going on today. And that's why people are being spoiled by that. That's just one example. And talk about science. 1 Timothy 6:20. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called. To stay with what I was talking about, just an example. If someone, I've had people come to me and they've told me why they're taking medicine. And a lot of times people ask for my advice or my opinion of it. And I tell them, I say, number one, I'm not your doctor. Number two, I want you to think about this. And ask yourself, did your doctor really check you out scientifically and come to this diagnosis and treatment? Or is this just a pill pusher you're dealing with? And if you have had scientific tests, you had blood work, MRIs, CAT scans, whatever, and it shows some reason that you should be taking this medicine, then that's between you and the Lord, but I have no problem with that, personally. But I do have a problem with psychology, because I believe it is a false science and it is not based on science. And anybody who's going into psychology, I feel bad for you. Anybody who's going to a psychologist, I feel bad for you. And you want to ever talk to me about it, any of you here, we'll talk. I'll talk to you about it. Anybody want to write me or whatever, I'll talk to you. I'll tell you the things that I found and the reason I say what I say. But it all boils down to you can do your own research and find out. When you get that book, they have a book listing all the psycho diseases. Yeah, but it's, you called it what? Yeah, DSM, I think, are they on 5 or 7 or something like that? They all sat around, they picked a handful of, like, gifted, you know, psychologists, leaders, sat around the table, and they basically voted. And they'd say, well, this is a disease, we call it this, these are the... How many vote to add this to the psychology Bible? And they'd vote. That's it. You know how the bubonic plague got listed as a disease? People were dying from it. It was right there for everybody to see. But any disease, you can do tests, you can take notes, you can see that all these people have these same traits, so we know they've got this same disease. Evidence. Whew. Science falsely so called. And all of this is setting the stage for Antichrist in our own day. That's the bottom line. I think a lot of the people who will take the mark of the beast will be under chemical lobotomies at the time they take the mark of the beast, and then it becomes a spiritual thing. So then it says Antiochus would be a king of fierce countenance. And Antiochus was psychotically fearless. You ever notice that some of these guys you read about in history, they just seem to have no fear? Folks, normal people have fear. And some of the great men that we are astronauts, you know, although some of you, I apologize to the flat earthers who don't believe in that we ever went to space, but those of us who do believe they went to space, and you talk or read an interview or listen to an interview with Neil Armstrong or Colonel Irwin, who is a good Christian man, and they'll tell you the kind of fear that is involved with getting blasted. You've got a nuclear bomb that, you know, attached to your butt, and you're getting blasted into, you know, outer space with how many G-forces? I can't remember how many. You know, your whole body, one guy described it as your brains were in your throat, you know, that kind of thing. Well, you know, the normal people have fear. They just work through it, you know. And Antiochus was one of these guys who was just psychotically fearless. And his self-confidence was based on his misplaced trust in the gods. His main god was Zeus in particular. And that's why I always tell people, when you hear people give a testimony, you know, that, oh, I prayed and God gave me strength to do something and that's why I'm a Christian. You ever heard those kind of things? That's not... You're saved by understanding that you're lost, and that Jesus paid the full price with the shedding of his blood and his death, and paid for your sin, and he conquered your sin and death with his resurrection. If he gives you strength to do something, that's a fringe benefit. That's not what saves you, not by believing that or experiencing that. So it's really scary when I hear those kind of testimonies. Because false religion can do that. Or a pill can do that. When the modern emphasis on self-love, self-confidence, and self-esteem is a doctrine of the Antichrist. The Bible says not to love yourself, but to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Why does it say that? Because in your sinful nature, you already love yourself. You're already in love with yourself. So the point is to stop focusing on you, and your love should be directed toward God and others. That became kind of very easy when you became a parent if you have natural affection. You suddenly realize you're putting off all the things you want, all the things you'd like to do with your time and everything, and you're focusing it on another human being. Well, that's the kind of selfless love Jesus Christ demonstrated when he came from heaven, put off his glory and became a man to die for your sin. Self-confidence. No. If you're confident in yourself, then you got real issues. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Greater is he that is in me. Not great is I. Great am I. No. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And so, again, if the Bible says you're not great and you say you are, you're Antichrist. Not the Antichrist, but I mean you have an Antichrist spirit and self-esteem. No, we are to esteem ourselves less and less. I like how John the Baptist said it. I must decrease, he must increase. Oh, stop it, John. That's bad for your self-esteem. Well, Antiochus Epiphanes was the poster child for self-esteem. Dude was in love with himself, self-confident, you name it. But he also, as it says there in verse 23, says, and understanding dark sentences, that is occult. Occult is defined by Webster's 1828 as hidden from the eye or understanding, invisible, secret, unknown, undiscovered, undetected. So technically it can be used about things like occult qualities of matter, occult qualities of gravity. You know, this, but that's the general use of the term. The specific use of the term is the occult sciences. And that's what Antiochus was into, and that's what the Antichrist is going to be into. Magic, necromancy. And when we talk about magic, we're not talking about nothing up my sleeve, presto. You know, we're talking about you know, magic arts. And Antiochus Epiphanes was a master in occult superstition because of his occult religion, beginning with his worship of Zeus. Now, real quick, I want to move through these. Occult organizations and movements. You've heard of the New Age movement. New spirituality. Freemasonry. The Illuminati. No, I'm not talking about Taco Bell. Wiccans. Gaians. Gaius. That's basically earth worship. Druids. Winston Churchill. Theosophical Society. And the United Nations. I put those together because the one is interlocked with the other. The Emergent Church, you heard of that? The Contemplative Prayer Movement, some of these like Beth Moore and people like that have been pulling people into that stuff. Roman Catholic spirituality, if you look throughout church history, the Roman Catholic spiritualists and mystics, St. Bernard Clairvaux, you know, and people like that. And here's an example of occult practices and teachings today. The Kabbalah, heard of that? Madonna and some of these people are into that. The Talmud. And people think I'm knocking the Jews here. I'm knocking the Talmud, not the Jews. I'm knocking the Talmud, not the Torah. The Torah is the Mosaic books. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. People get those words mixed up and they think I'm saying something I'm not. Paranormal magic. Again, not pulling a rabbit out of the hat. Astrology, not astronomy. I love astronomy. Astrology is your star charts, the zodiac, and all that. Mysticism, alchemy, theurgy, and shamanism. Some of these hopefully are familiar to you as far as because they're all around you all the time. Spirit channeling, spirit guides, angel communication. Anybody says they're talking to angels, and really? Who have you talked to? Gabriel? Michael? You know. No, that's a bad thing. Seances, necromancy, tarot cards, palm reading, all forms of divination. The Force. George Lucas borrowed that from Buddhism. Human potential and mind sciences. You ever heard of Scientology? Christian Science? All those. Black Mass? That's something we're going to do a little study on sometime here in the next few weeks. And finally, I just want to run through a list of some of the names you need to watch for. Because you'll be surprised how many people you thought might be all right people in politics, religion, entertainment, and you'll find out these are some of their favorite people. And then you'll know what you're dealing with. Also, it could be true about people you have as friends or relatives or coworkers. Plato. He's a pedophile. Ptolemy. Pythagoras. Marilyn Ferguson. Madame Blavatsky. Aleister Crowley. Albert Pike. Manly P. Hall. Those last two names are familiar to Freemasonry. Timothy Leary, the father of LSD. Anton LaVey, founder of the Church of Satan. Wayne Dyer, hero for PBS. They still sell his stuff on PBS. Deepak Chopra, the same, PBS. Jimmy Page, Stairway to Heaven, Led Zeppelin. Jack Parsons, a rocket scientist. Oprah Winfrey and her guru, Eckhart Tolle. And on and on that could go. But just to give you an example. The mass majority today see nothing wrong with these people, organizations, and practices. And I'm talking even a lot of the people that you know who claim to be Christians. The stage is being set. And when the time is ripe, the devil appears. And it sure is getting ripe. Amen? So we close with the phrase, shall stand up. That's how the verse ends. And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences, shall stand up. If you paid attention tonight, that Bible verse should make a whole lot more sense to you than it did when we began. Antiochus fulfilled this prophecy, and we're not done. We have a couple more verses we're going to look at in a couple of weeks. His rule began in 175 B.C. So he was about 200 years out from Daniel. He was also about 200 years out from Jesus. See how that fits on your schedule there. We'll pick up here next time. Just real quick, I want to show you something I think is interesting. Let's close by looking again at Antiochus Epiphanes. That's what I showed you that at the beginning. That's supposed to be a very real likeness of him, the way he appeared. That might look familiar to those of you paying attention to the world system. Ain't that something? We're not saying Francis is the Antichrist, but the final pope will be the Antichrist. I just think that's amazing. The Antichrist comes as a man of peace. You think that's a coincidence? The pope right now is considered, he's even called by some people the Prince of Peace. He is hailed as a man of peace. I mean, it really, how many, Dan and Doug and some of you might remember this, Jim, you guys might remember this, John Paul II. I mean, they painted him up as the answer to the world's problems. He was given credit for ending communism in Russia and all this stuff. And man, they were painting him up. I just think it's fascinating. Every pope dresses like Antiochus. Every one of them. And when he, the pope, turns to war, he may look something like this. I just thought that was interesting. He probably won't look like that, but that's what the Inquisitor General looked like when he went to kill you people, people just like you. That's, he's got the pope's hat on, the mitre, the fish hat, Dagon. Yeah, that's the pope's general. So he probably won't look like that, but he will definitely be on his throne. And he is already worshipped as God. They call him Holy Father. Yeah. The truth, you sit on a throne of lies. I think that's funny. Real quick, a couple of Q&A here. Jenny?
We were having another question. Is the Ten Commandments a shadow as well?
A shadow of the law that will be enforced during the millennium. It also served as our schoolmaster to show us we needed saved. But during the millennium, the law is in full force. And so under King Jesus, the mortals who are either survivors of the Great Tribulation or offspring of those survivors, they will be under law. And so, and really you could say it this way, what God intended for the Jews under Moses that they failed will be fulfilled in the millennium. Johnny?
Connection to that. The idea of the law during the millennial reign. I think, maybe I'm not thinking this fully through, but it does seem like there'll be, like it won't be like the law when Jesus was describing it, you know, say things like even down to the thoughts. Because we know that if God were to be, you know, 100% strict, then there would be no sinners left alive. So there's really going to be some level of mercy.
Well, there was under Moses. That's what I'm saying. What he attempted under Moses, that's why it's wrong and why I try to keep myself from falling into the trap of calling our dispensation the dispensation of grace. Because it's always been about grace. God had much grace. Like you said, I mean, really, the first time a sinner sins, he should be killed and thrown into the lake of fire. So God has had grace on all of us, sinner and saved alike. And so under the Mosaic law, though, there are severe punishments, but it was imperfect. In the millennium, there will be sin. People preach the millennium, a lot of times they preach it wrong. I mean, there's going to be sin. There's going to be people, there's going to be murders. There's going to be rapes. But it'll just be very rare. And immediately, those murderers and rapists will be killed. And it'll be broadcast on international television. And whatever form of communication we have during the millennium, everyone on the earth will know what's going on. And now, I've had people ask me, well, that's not fair to the person who was killed. I said, well, I can't say this 100%. But you do know you got King Jesus right there. Won't that be something that every time somebody, there's a murder, they kill the murderer and send him to the lake of fire, and he raises the dead? And they say that every time there's a rape, it's only an attempted rape. That God intervenes before the rape is complete. There's all kinds of things like that, that interesting reading in the Old Testament about it. All right, let's stand and close in a word of prayer. Ain't this a great book? Really fun book. Fun to read, fun to learn, fun to talk about. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the good time we have tonight in your word. This wonderful, infallible book. Your precious Holy Spirit teaching us. Thankful that there are some folks who, even though we get tired from the work week, and some of us have had problems with our health and get a little run down, still have people who are able to make it out and enjoy these Bible studies. Many online watching now from the live stream, and many more who will watch the video uploads and watch or listen on bbfohioradio.com and sermon audio. We just thank you for each one. We do want to continue to lift up Martha and her wrist, that you'll continue to help her to heal up. Charity in Chicago, that you'll be with her and keep her safe for this month that she spends there. The good report from Ezekiel, but he still has to have the chemo, so we lift him up to you, Lord. This girl named Hannah, who lost her best friend in that school shooting in Kentucky, and his healing up from her own gunshot wound. And the girl in Texas that we were told about. This is so sad to hear these things. We live in a fallen world, and with all the wickedness, there's still so much being accomplished for your glory. And so we, lifting these folks up to you, we thank you for the grace and mercy that you have daily, and ask you for more grace and mercy on each one here and all of our loved ones. Thank you for saving souls. We love you. Pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus loves the little children. All the children.